שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו...
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about how to restore mental balance in life. It's not easy. We'll try to understand how to make it better. Be with us, Nitza, please. Okay, so today we'd like to talk about a state that many people feel, especially lately. Young and old people, a feeling that we're falling out of balance, a feeling that we lost sanity to some extent. And it's not because of, you know, some illness or psychiatric state, but life itself. You know, the routine, the uncertainty, our interactions with people create a state where we feel that we really fell out of balance. And you can feel it in everything practically. And I heard from many people that there's a feeling that we're like living in a kind of gray cloud sitting on our head and you can't get out of it. It landed on our head, and inside of that, our interactions in the family, at work, wherever we are, it finds its way out there, you know. Impatience, you lose your cool, you lose your nerve, you look at yourself from the outside in, and you don't understand what is going on. So what is going on? Really? We were in different states. Throughout history, throughout our development, and we weren't as pressured as we are now. We have everything. We don't feel hunger. We don't feel some big crises, you know, ecological distresses, maybe here and there in different places around the world, but it's because it's on the media and we're all involved in it. And education and the health system is somehow functioning. It's not like in the Middle Ages. And there's room for men, women. These things are, we arrange things between us, the country, everything. But probably that it is an internal kind of problem more than an external one. Humanity never lived in a way, in such a calm, convenient, comfortable, and good way as it has now. And still, we are never content. We are in a kind of collision with one another. We don't look at each other kindly. It's a problem. And I don't think that there are reasons for it, objective, external reasons for it, that come from nature or something. We see from history that there were times that were much more difficult than these ones, and still we haven't heard about people being under such pressure and stress, so discontent. And this is the matter of people that have reached a state where their ego, their desire, their demands are so great that they don't want to agree with anything and simply think that they deserve more. And if not, it's better to die than live this way. What kind of a life do you want to die from? It's better to die than live this way. What's missing? You have food, yes. Health, yes. Family, children. And you have what to fill yourself with throughout life. Even your free time. You even have free time. You have everything. What are we concerned about these days? For the air to be a bit fresher? That every time they talk about hurricanes, volcanoes, this, that, they talk. I think that it's actually... that it's actually that we bring these things from within us more than from the outside. So what pushes a person out of balance? A person can't be calm, can't be still. This is how he is. He can't be like in previous times, that he's discontent. He is discontent about this and that, and to give him more of this and more of that. You can open your computer for free and see the entire world on it, and entertainment and news and you name it, from the most beautiful things to the most horrible things. You have everything right in front of you. Have a wild time. Enjoy. So our discontent is what pushes us into this feeling of mental disbalance. Yeah. The problem is that we're already made for different life systems. It's not enough anymore. Imagine that you would have been living now in a city from the Middle Ages. What did they have there? Some bread, a few vegetables, and basically, nothing. No supermarket, no health services, nothing. And people lived. We didn't hear that they were depressed or something. What kind of show business did they have back there, or amusements did they have that they used to chop off someone's head at the town square and everyone used to come and see, and that would make them happy? Meaning, man changed. And today, you could give him all good and bad things, etc., etc., and it's not enough. And even if yesterday, you went to some concert, or you were to the theater, or you heard classical music, whatever people like, the next day, as if it didn't happen, everything's empty again. Immediately, everything disappears. Right, that's the feeling, basically. And so here, we really need to see, what can we give a person so that he will fill himself and will be content with life? So much so that, he'll have broad open eyes and he'll say, thank you. You have nothing like that. Nothing. The only thing I hear and send to the heaven are curses. And this is a matter of the times that we're living in, that our ego grew so much that we need a special method in order to restrain it, fulfill it, calm it down. Otherwise, really, it's better to die than live this way. Previously, you said something very interesting. You said that the problem is that we're made for different life systems, that what we have now is not enough anymore. Yeah? On the inside, we've reached such desires, such demands, that our life doesn't provide us with it anymore. It can't. Take me to, take me around the world in a plane. Been there, done that. Theater games, bingo, take me to whatever, wherever, nothing. I don't feel that it fulfills me. One way or another, there's an empty place that remained inside of me. Okay, this emptiness that nothing makes me happy anymore, this is what pushes us out of balance? Yeah, I need some upper fulfillment and higher and higher. But probably it's something that we can't get within the boundaries of our framework. I want to give you an example. This is a question that came from one of our viewers. She writes, it's 9 p.m. and I'm in the park. I'm a mother of four. I call a friend. She's asking me, where are you? I tell her, I'm in the park. Why are you in the park? I feel like disappearing. What's wrong? Nothing special. The routine, the pressure, they're finishing me off, pushing me out of balance. I went out to breathe some air. This is a completely normal woman. Normative. That's how we all feel today. You all the time feel like you're about to explode. Someone at work says a word, at home, some situations. Suddenly you feel that the water is boiling, but no one's turning off the fire. And you feel that only if you're going to escape to some place, to move away from these pressuring people, can you breathe some air. And that's how it is all the time. It's like there's a mode in the system that's... Help us out here. It is because we have reached such desires that we can't fulfill in life. We can't. Our desires, all in all, are food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. That in that, you can bring all the fulfillments and desires and everything that there is. And we still have not reached a state where people nonetheless want something. There are those that climb mountains. There are those that are waiting for vacation to go to the sea or to go to some place. There are those that are waiting to fly to space. But soon we will come to a state that all of these things will be canceled. No one will go for it. No one will want to do it. I don't want to go to the beach. I don't even want to go on vacation. I want nothing. And we see how in the past it was, you know, normal to go to work and even in relation to the day-to-day life, kids, family, we're really about to bury ourselves. The question is, what can bring the air back? Because what she described is like a feeling of, that I'm suffocating, that I have no air to breathe. Now, where can I get this air from? That's the question, actually. How do I somehow restore balance? Or what do I need to do? That's simple. In the past, you could fill those desires that awoke in you, and you were content. So, you had desires. You felt that you want something. And after some time that you already mean to fulfill these desires, then you already have a feeling that soon you're going to fulfill them, and to some extent that already fulfills you, etc., etc. Today you don't have that. And there are those that say that it's because the fulfillment comes too quickly, and a person doesn't really have a real desire to want to search for the fulfillment, and then when the fulfillment comes, then he'll be really happy about it. Not even that. If we want to hear what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, because I don't think that it's possible to help without it. That's why we're asking you about it. So the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we need to understand that we have to find the solution in our source, in our origin, that all in all, the whole of nature is the desire to receive pleasure. Now, in this desire to receive pleasure, we're divided into the still vegetative, animate, and human beings, 4 degrees, each of which can fulfill itself besides the last degree, human beings. Human beings are such a creature that develops in his will to receive, and therefore their will to receive develops, and therefore they're always discontent and never fulfilled. So how is it possible on that level called the degree of man or the speaking level, still vegetative animate speaking, how can the speaking degree fulfill itself? Then the wisdom of Kabbalah says, it's possible only on condition that they will connect to one another, with each other. And then, not that I fulfill myself, but that everyone fulfills everyone else. And so, what will I have as a result? I don't understand. The wisdom of Kabbalah says, if you'll want to fulfill each other, then you'll start discovering such possibilities and fulfillments that you didn't expect to know about, etc., etc. That only this way, that as it says, go and provide for each other, that only this way will you be able to reach a state where you will feel good. But we're not made that way. The more we develop, the more each of us wants to close himself, lock himself at home, move away from others, to say, this is mine, these are my borders, and that's it. And so what do you do? Therefore, we need to learn how to do it. But it all depends only on the mutual fulfillment that we will provide each other with. So you're actually talking about a kind of connection between people that will be the basis for some new kind of fulfillment. And what we see in practice now is that the feeling of mental disbalance causes us to want to move away from those people that are close to us, that maybe they're the source of the problem. They're the ones suffocating us. That on the one hand, we want to run away from everyone. On the other hand, when we run away from everyone, we can't find fulfillment. It's like a thing and its opposite. Right? So, I don't, well, maybe some piece of advice, something. What can I tell that friend that calls me up and says, I'm about to explode, no air? Meaning, how can we be connected in a way that, on the one hand, we will not want to cut the connection and to discover that in this connection we are receiving fulfillments that we couldn't get before in any other way. And these fulfillments, as it says, go and live off each other, that these fulfillments that we're getting from everyone, that they will be on such a level that they'll have such an intensity, such a form, that I can't get it in any other way. And then I will love everyone, and I'll annul myself toward everyone, and I'll be like a baby who's cleaved on to his mother. That I cleave on to society, to the bosom of society, and from there I suckle my entire pleasure in life. This is what we need. So the people that I run away from and want to feel most distant from, they're the ones that are actually holding my oxygen tank, only I don't know how to correctly connect in order to take a breath of air. This is what the wisdom is all about, and that's why this wisdom is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, literally meaning of reception, how to be connected to everyone in such a way that maybe I'll also give them something, but especially that I'll receive from them. And what we discover here is that I can receive from them this fulfillment that I say that we're thirsty for, that I can get this fulfillment only on condition that I give them. And this is a thing and its opposite, that the more I give, the more I enjoy, like a mother that feeds her child, and in that I feel my fulfillment, the pleasure, that actually in giving, I feel how much I become fulfilled. Imagine that were I to say this to my friend that feels that she's really giving to everyone, the family, home, work, and this is actually what causes her to feel that she has no air because she gives all the time. Yeah, she doesn't receive anything. So how is it possible to explain it? Because here there needs to be mutuality. They also need to learn what to do to receive from her, and that she'll feel that they're receiving from her, and by that are fulfilling her, and she fulfills them. It is something that we need to learn how to do. Because what they're lacking is a common feeling. This is what we have in a relationship between a husband and wife, usually, that each of them thinks that he's giving to the other and gets nothing in return. Or, what am I getting in return? I'm getting nothing. What does he give me? Exactly. And she also looks at it that way, that I gave you my entire life, etc. Maybe you can give us some kind of exercise that that we can do in order to start advancing in that direction. It's something that you have to learn how to do, because it is a matter of man's attitude toward life. And after we entered life, we got tips about how to develop our ego, meaning these, you know, one-way systems. And here we need to find mutuality all the time. How do we connect mutually to each other, I to you and you to me, and in our mutual connections, precisely in the middle between us, we need to develop the give and take, take and give, and that there will be such relations that we actually don't need anything from each other, besides that I have an opportunity to give you, and I don't need anything from you, but I receive from you in order to give you the attitude that I need from you. What are we actually passing on to each other? Desire? Only desire. Each gives the other desire. And really this way, do we develop a good and nice connection between us? And actually, none of us needs nothing besides the right attitude. Because suppose everyone has everything, but we need to have someone in front of me that I can give. And to give them inner fulfillment and to try and give them, that they give me inner fulfillment and I put in my participation, not something physical, material, but my participation in order to fulfill them. And this way we will feel that between us, there's not only connection, but such a system of relations that we can't live without each other. Like today, that we already have a feeling that I want something, but had to get these things, then in our development, we will reach a state where I will really feel that I need all the people in the world in order to give them, to open my heart to them, to open my care, my concern for them. And what fills me then? That they're willing to accept it from me and vice versa. And then we will really reach a state where all of us will provide everyone with fulfillment limitlessly. Can you give us some small exercise in that direction?
Mm-hmm.
Practical exercise, yeah. That. Let's start thinking in the family or in some relationship between two people, or maybe several people. That's something that we yet have to see. Who are we turning to? How do we build such a relationship that people will all the time think about how can I benefit, do good to the other person? In what way? And what sophistications can I cause good to the other and keep the other all the time in uplifted spirits, in a good mood? I examine the other person all the time. Are they happy? Are they in a good mood? Like a mom looking at her baby that's in her hands. Is he happy? Is he well? He's fattening, thank God. You know that you joy makes you fat. Now, how to bring back, we're talking about how to restore mental balance, and the exercises that I have to examine with if the person in front of me has a good mood, are they okay? You see it as the purpose of your life, and that will give me mental balance. If you think about the other person and don't think about yourself at all, that brings you to mental balance. Why? Because it is the highest, most exalted thing that can exist in the relations between people. And what does it give me? It gives you calm. It gives you a feeling of connection with others. It'll allow you to rise above your animate level. All the emptiness that you previously described, that a person's ego is so big nowadays and can't satisfy him, in the long run, can it be solved through this bypass? Yes, and only. We can be fulfilled, content, happy only by fulfilling others. And from that comes our fulfillment. That's called an ochzer, in reflected light. If everyone around me isn't calm, and so am I, and everyone's out of balance, if we'll start playing these games that I forcefully stop thinking about myself and edginess and emptiness, and instead of that, I start looking at Nitza, like at that baby that I want for it to grow fat. No, she doesn't wanna. No, not that she'll grow fatter. But I mean, if I take a thermometer that measures all the time how edgy am I, and you know, it's about to break, and I pass that thermometer on to Nitza, and I examine how can she feel better. Then you live in her. This is what you need, that you're all the time looking for how to make her feel good. What will I get as a result? You'll feel good. Like a mother that is entirely in her child. So precisely that which makes me edgy nowadays, the people around me, this is where I should get the feed of tranquility from. Yeah, you enjoy others, you invest yourself in others, and that's how you live, and this is how everyone should be in everyone. That's the true mutual guarantee. So it's a kind of switch in my brain. You need to teach people how to build such relations, otherwise they'll have no future. Dr. Leitman, unfortunately our time's up. Thank you very much. Good luck. Good luck, and thank you, and all the best.